Our exhibition program, the lifeblood of a museum, is to have exhibitions. If you don't have exhibitions, you are not visible. Last year we had 23 special exhibitions. And you will see that from this, I need to pause here because I need to point out to you we have 23 exhibitions, special exhibitions. We are on the decline, mainly because in 2013-14, we are only anticipating having about 14 to 15 exhibitions. And that is because it's purely funding. If we don't have, if we can't source the funding, it becomes very, very difficult. So hopefully people will come in and by accident we'll be able to piggyback on their exhibitions. As you know, earlier on this year we opened the Oliver Reginald Tambo exhibition at the Itiko Museum. And then we've had other museums, Words of the State, Places of Memory, and Uncontained, and then our exhibition targets for 2013-14, well, we are only thinking of 17 museums. As the chairman said, we have a program, we've got a thematic plan. The chairman said we are having to re-look at ourselves and our delivery as the Itiko Museum. And what we've done is we've actually gone through all our sites and started to look at whether those sites are in fact addressing 21st century needs. And we as a staff have gone through them, we've looked at the visitor numbers that are going through them, and we are now going to have to put a plan together about how to reimagine those sites, how to make new exhibitions, how to have new public programs so that they in fact start to speak to our new mandate as a 21st century museum that talks to all its audiences. Program two, development of our preservation of our collections. One of the things that we have to do is to improve our collections, and that we are working really, really hard on. Our acquisitions, I did tell you earlier on, we only have 101,418 rand to acquire new collections for our 11 museums. And that is very, very sad because if we don't have money, we can't have new exhibitions which will stimulate people to come in and look at what South Africa is producing and then stimulate the creation of new works out of that, stimulate the production of new knowledge, stimulate new discussions, new discourses, all sorts of things, because I think that's what museums are there for. I mean, I know they're there for that. They are there to help, to educate, but to create a two-way discourse. People don't just go and look blankly. They come away inspired. Artists go and look at other artists' work, and then produce other artwork and critique artwork. And that's how we find ourselves as a nation, stimulating the country in a very dynamic way. This is Mary Sibande. As you know, she's an important artist, and she's somebody that we wouldn't be able to buy her work in this country if we only got 101,000 rand to spend on collections. The most important thing is, as you see, our state president at Mr. and Mrs. Klaas and Troy Pienaar, the return, their reburial, he officiated and he said that, as you know, Itiko Museums, like many other museums in the country, have many human remains. The important thing is we are working on our human remains. We are identifying them. We have a policy put together. And we are in the process of setting them aside and also wanting to return them to communities. But we cannot do that if we do not have the funds to do that. So this is quite important that we need the funding to in fact work on our human remains within our museum. We've been aggressively trying to digitize our collection. This is our natural history collection. Once again, you see we have overproduced in 2012-13, and that is because we've got funding for that tranche, so for that work. So if we get money, then we are actually really able to produce, and hopefully we'll be lucky again this year. Our research, as you know, is also our lifeblood of our work. It needs to reach the public domain. Our research cannot stay in our storerooms. We had a last year, 17, we said 14, we produced 17 peer-reviewed publications. This year, we hopefully will do 14 peer-reviewed publications. And popular publications as well, those are produced. Last year, we produced 13, and we set 9 for ourselves this year. Our corporate advancement is actually our marketing. Here we have two mandates that we've set for ourselves in our strategy, and one is financial sustainability, and the other is integrated marketing and communication. What we have done is we, as in terms of financial sustainability, the IDICO Museum have been putting in applications for funding, whether it be with the Lotto, whether it's with the NAC, whether it's with the National Heritage Council, whether it's through various, we just put in the job fund, etc. We sit down and we put in for money, apply for money so that we can sustain our operations and encourage and create the dynamic museum that we want to create. In terms of integrated marketing and communications, one of our strategies is to find partners. And our partners, quite often, by accident, we find ourselves in various media. We find those partners and we say, right, we would like to partner, we would go into these programs, but these are where, when you advertise, this is where we would like to see ourselves. If you, you know, obviously they tell us where they need to advertise themselves. So that's quite important because that visibility factor is an important factor for the IDICO Museum. In terms of our financial sustainability, what I want to say for 2013-14, we are going to try, to increase our total budget by 24 million, nearly 25 million. We are hoping that we will find partners who will help us in raising, or they will give us a rand value of about 8 million in terms of exhibition programs and how we find ourselves in the press. These are just some of our activities, and the next slide will show you the Eiffel Tower that was lit up, that the NAC made reference to earlier on. We participated in the French South African season. I'd like to just, in terms of our integrated marketing, we have made at IDICO Museum, because our budgets are not very big, we've made something like 763 rand, 380 rand worth of concessions to our museum, because we have an entrance fee, and that's employed back into our operation. So when we have youth visiting, we found, and there aren't whole communities coming in, and they say they can't afford to visit our museum, we make concessions, but we quantify that, how much that translates into. Our visitors, as you will see, we've set a target of 510,000. Last year we had a bit of a decrease in our visitors in comparison to the previous year, but still, we are still meeting our visitor figures. Last year we got 528,000 and 8 visitors that came to the IZICO Museum. Our last program, which is governance, here our focus obviously is on our human resources, our financial management, our IT, our customer relationship management, our facilities management, and our risk management. In terms of our human resources, I know that I don't have very much time left. I just want to make, we are paying quite a lot of attention to our organizational culture. Obviously, it's an important area for all organizations to have an extremely healthy organizational culture. It's an area that we're focusing on, training our staff. We employ 1% of our payroll for our staff development. We also encourage our staff to, we pay for some tertiary education. We give them some assistance. And I won't go into that. And then our facilities. We have a major capital works program going on at the IZICO Museum, and that's the Courtyard Project, which is being funded by the Department of Arts and Culture and managed by the Department of Public Works. That particular program, we're hoping that in 3 years' time, we will be able to share our storerooms with members of the public and be able to produce quite an exciting science museum to the people of South Africa. In terms of risk management, I just want to say that we have been able to reduce our risk. And just while we are here, I also want to say, while we're talking about risk and while and we are on the verge of going on to financial management, ladies and gentlemen, last year the IZICO Museum received a clean report, a clean audit report. So we're being audited right now. I hope we will be able to manage that. Thank you. The IZICO Museum just wants to be a bit proactive in terms of our funding, and we commissioned a gap analysis. Our council commissioned a gap analysis to look at our funding, and in that gap analysis, and that was also supported by the AG. Where the gap analysis has shown us that we're going to be having a.
How many more slides did you add?
No, I didn't add anything. We gave these were all the slides that we passed it through the Department of Arts and Culture.
Yeah, how many more slides are more than? I know. I'm saying how many more does she have?
Another two.
Okay. So it was three.
Yeah. Another two.
Can you just remember that for?
No, I'm saying maybe it was a technical issue with the printer because the electronic version that we received has more than 49
gigs.
Oh,
yeah. I was going to ask.
A technical error from the comment section.
Oh, okay. Can we just be members just to watch it? If it's more template, we can watch. Maybe next time we'll just have to ensure with the end. Okay. Then we'll circulate the rest of it. Okay. So we just. look at it, right?
The gap analysis points that if we want to our budget, we're going to have a shortfall of 19.2 million and going forward 18.8 million. If we don't start to get an increase, obviously, of our grants from our executive authority. And then the other thing that is holding us down, obviously, because of a grab, we have a projected liability of 41 million, nearly 42 million. So that's not very healthy for us as the Iziko Museum. In terms of our grant, and it's not projected on here, for 2013-14, our government grant that we have this year is 61.515 million, and that's 81% of our budget. And then 9 million is towards our own income. That's about 12%. And so we've actually supplementing quite a lot of our own income. And as you will see from the following table, that our biggest expenditure item is actually the last column, which is our staff personnel costs. Our operations is about 10 million in the last financial year, and our core functions took about 6 million in the last financial year. I'm not going to go through all the table, but the I just want to show you our expenditure trend here, and that is governance and corporate services. If you look at 2013-14, you will see the most is actually on our staff and our governance operations expenditure. Enhancing our museum experience is really a minuscule amount of money. Collections a little more, and then corporate advancement is very, very little. So for us, the magic word has been to in fact partner with people. I've just highlighted for you, this is according to the our MTEF, we had budgeted 79,197,883. That is our budget. But, yeah. So, and our estimated revenue this year, our government grant, obviously, is the biggest. It's 81%. Our interest received is 4%. Our sponsorship and donations, we're hoping to get 6%. And from our admission fee, 5%. All of that is then re-employed into making up our budget. And our expenditure per program, enhancing the museum experience is 2%. Collections and research, 4%. Corporate advancement, which is marketing, is 1%, and then governance and corporate services is 93%. if we look at our current budget, our employee costs is 75% of our money. Our museum core function 6%, goods and services 18%, and our capital assets 1%. In terms of our IT, the Iziko Museum, we are obviously upgrading. We use our IT not just for our digitizing and our work and the storage of our information. We also use our IT function for our security within our museum as well. Gorsi, thank you, Danke.
Thank you, that was nice and very brief. And I think the members are ready to answer questions. Onam Kora, I see your hand. Onabo Mushwana. Onam Japani. Onam Mushwana. Onam Shirwana, sorry. And yeah, in that order. Onabo Kora.
Thank you very much, and thanks for the presentation. One is a comment. In this country, we have 9 provinces, and one of those provinces is a free state, not already free state. And I happen to come from that particular province. My question is from the, what is the reason behind for your funders to pull out this year? You said the funders are not pulling out. The second one, so I don't know, is it because of this, the presentation, I don't know. I don't see the hologram of the Ezekiel here. And that hologram, if it's there to be displayed in the other part of the slide, can you just explain the hologram in terms of gender? Last year, I heard the president say they wanted an audit. I'll be very happy if I can address it. Remember, a report. Maybe there are mental preferences that wanted to check. Those are the two inputs for me. Thank you very much.
Namaskar. Thank you again. I want to thank the presenter for giving us this presentation. I just had to cry when it was missing complete, and of course it was done even before it completed. But then I'm on page 2, where you talk of your 11 museums. I'm checking if Rubin Island is not also in, because this is one of the events we're talking of 12. I see you have 11. And one is checking where exactly are these. Are they in one particular province? Like you find 5 in Western Cape and maybe 6 in, because if they are not all over, it means that you still have a lot of job to ensure that they are found all over the country.
Okay.
Honorable
Adam,
do
you want to check it? And thank you so much for this wonderful presentation. And I think I have to commend you. You are one of the best government ministers that appeared before us. You know your clean audit report is confirmed by the Auditor General in this document. Okay. Now we're giving long term. It is confirmed here. Keep it up. It is quite appreciable. Only one question in this. Yeah, and I don't know because I received this from my PA. Okay. Alright. But this sub program in integrated marketing and communication performance environment is very good point. It is a much strategic objective to ensure and increase them their revenue. So how do you enhance? That is the only question I have.
Thank you. Manager?
Transform these museums as they are all fall under that the very big job of transformation to transform and let it be representative of all South African heritage. And another one, why do you have exceeded the number of the internships? So on slide 45, the number of visitors has dropped. And it is, I think, that we have increased the fees. Is it because of the increase of this fee that makes the number to drop down? Because the more people you have there, the better for you that you'll be able to transform and be able to show people how South African heritage is all about. I think so far that's
thank you,
Honorable Senator. Thank you, Chairperson. Just want to talk to the facilities. You've mentioned it, the infrastructure. Is it safe, secure, dry, at the right temperature? You know, all the, you understand what I mean, your exhibition. Just want to know if they're safe, secure, dry.
Thank you, Chair, and I want to add my voice to saying thank you very much for the presentation. And now I will ask her in Afrikaans to say a dom vraag. A stupid question, but I'm just interested. The people will know that the youth wage subsidy is a very contentious issue at the moment. I was wondering, in the Western Cape, they implemented that. Now, is the Ezekiel Museum allowed to make use of, say, the youth wage subsidy to get young people to get experience in this field? Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other members? Okay. I think my question basically is, I couldn't just go over quickly to check. You've done very well, you know, but what I want to check is that Iziko was amalgamated more than a decade ago. Why are exhibitions still not fully, I'll say, representative of South African heritage, you know? You know, they should reflect the history of the nation and all of that. But one of the issues, if I remember, you had internships, and you still have internships, and have those internships secured any permanent employment in Iziko, you know, because sometimes you give them this youth internship and go and all that. But just to further to say that, well, what measures are you trying maybe to increase your donor funding? Because in most cases, the government entities, they will just rely on government funding. How far have you gone? I know you've got donations sometimes, but how far have you gone to such a extent that even if tomorrow government says that doesn't fund you, unfortunately it cannot go to the government institution, how far have you gone in the provincial, national, city of Cape Town, international donors and everything? Just to comment on the marketing, I heard you speak about the marketing part, you know, Because I always say that visitors, when they come to a country, more than anything, it's not only about the oceans and the trees and the warmth and the food, but museums as well, because they tell the history of the place. If you check, especially international tourists, the first place that they ask, where the museums, so that it tells the history of the country, you know, and whatever. I'm not sure whether, do you have an entrance fee in the performance?
Sorry, Chair, it's gone up to 30 grand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I was checking that because most of the government departments, the entrance is free or it's less. I always make this emphasis about the misleading move to say that, that we have to review this. If you travel abroad, if you are a local, you pay less. If you are a tourist, you pay more. I remember I was in India, the local was free or it was 20 rand. But I had to pay about 900, whatever their currency is. All over the places that you travel, especially museums, we pay more. So it's something that I thought I should raise because I think the marketing part is very important because most of South Africans, they would know about African museum. I think it's one of the most marketed and which other museums that they would talk about. Okay, this is Robben Island, obviously, because the marketing itself is very strong. So they need to know some of this history. Some, you know, I was shocked when I was here in Cape Town and came in 2008, that there are people here who have never been to Robben Island. Some who don't even know Iziko. Some who don't even know. I know, let's try and change the mindset of people. Because in some of our African communities, the thing is that they're just white people. You know. So I'm just raising this issue so that this is how we market it. And your relations with the South African tourism, you know, tourism, whatever, on such issues. Thank you so much.
We are a national museum. The Iziko museums are national museums, but we are located in the Western Cape. We are the southern flagship museums, and the northern flagship museums are located in Gauteng. Our sister museums are the Ditsong Museum, and we are the Iziko museums. Our funders, in terms of them pulling out, what happens is on an annual basis, we have programs that are funded. And sometimes we don't enter into, they just come and they say, we have this program and we would like to, would you be interested in participating? And therefore we get the funds for that particular program. So your reference was more about funders pulling out from internship programs. And it wasn't because they just changed their mandate and decided that they wanted to fund their own internal program. But our program, in terms of the interns, was very, very successful. Our organogram, Madam Chair, we delivered, and I'm not really sure whether you received them, but our organogram is in fact in our ATP, and last week it was delivered here. You were asked to deliver more ATPs, which were delivered. So it's in our ATP, and just go through our senior management structure. We have... I just quickly want to tell you how many males and how many females. There's 5 females and 6 males in our senior management structure. But if you want a detailed organogram, then I would have to bring it and deliver it to you. But it is in our in the APP that was delivered last week. I won't go into the clean audit because thank you. You assisted me there. In terms of how we wanting to achieve and increase our audiences, what Zico has done and it has been our strategy is to increase our interaction during our, we have 3 days where we, commemorative days, where we bring in partners and we approach partners to offer our participants free travel into the city to participate in our program so that they, and then we get a whole host of partners to engage in different types of programs within the museum, outside the museum. We take them to different sites. We expose young people, older people to different experiences, but that's just one thing that we do on commemorative days. Then we have school programs where we are bringing in schools who come in and engage with our education staff quite a bit, and our scientists and our curators. So we do that, and where young people are able to explore and engage in different aspects of our work. So we have school programs. One very important program, which I haven't stated to you, is we're also giving, we got some national NRF funding, National Research Foundation funding. And we have to put an equivalent amount of money towards their funding, and we are now able to assist PhD and post-PhD scientists, and particularly scientists of color, to as master's students to work within our museum to get their qualification. So there's that also going on. But in order to massify, we have these mass programs that go on. We have exhibitions that happen, and then we go out using our museum bus into the community as well, in communities. Transformation, yes, transformation is very big. Transformation in all its senses, transformation in terms of our collections, transformation in terms of our exhibitions, transformation in terms of addressing, bringing in new staff, etc. So it's a whole range of issues that we are looking at. But the one most important transformation that we are looking at, and that addresses the exhibition areas and our exhibitions, that is our thematic plan, where we're looking at our exhibitions and we're saying, is it speaking to people in the new South Africa in the 21st century? If it is not, then we have to find the money to redo those exhibitions so that they can, in fact, speak to the new mandate that we have as the Iziko Museum. It ranges. Our internship program ranges. It can be for 3 months, it can be for 6 months, it can be for 1 year. If we have positions within the museum, after our internship program, we certainly do appoint, if they apply. We can't just automatically appoint people. What we do is we will appoint, if they apply for the position and they have all competencies and skills, And obviously we take into account the fact that they still need to be developed. We do give them the opportunity. So yes, we do give our interns, if they apply, an opportunity. But what has been very good is a number of the interns that have worked at the Iziko Museum have in fact secured jobs with sister institutions, like the province has been appointing them in their museum, and private museums have been appointing them. Recently we had an intern in our museum and he spent a year with us. He's now got full-time employment as an archaeologist at the Natal Museum in Pietermaritzburg. So I think what we are doing is we do provide the platform not just to employ within our museum, but to actually be a training ground for museums within the country. And that, I think, is the dynamic process of what we offer to our South Africans. Why have our visitor figures dropped, and is it associated with our, is it associated to the fact that we've increased our funding? I think that our visitor figures have not necessarily dropped because of our increase in our, it could be in our admission fees, but it's dropped because it's the world, you know, I mean, I think our economy is not, you know, not just us, but I mean, the recession has hit all corners of the world. So, yes, we do find that. And we also find a very coincidental thing. If it doesn't rain enough, and there isn't enough cloud cover, then we don't get our numbers of people. If it's rainy, then Table Mountain doesn't get visitors, and if it's and there's a lot of cloud cover, then we get more visitors. So it depends, it's very weather dependent, this whole thing. So there's this fine balance with our numbers, but yes, I take your point. I think, but Iziko will not turn away people if they say they cannot afford to enter our museum. We do have a lot of free days, and we do have we do give young people concessions. Pensioners can come in for free, university students for free on specific days. Pensioners for free on a specific day, and university students on a specific day as well. The post-retirement medical aid, thank you, your point is taken. I think our CFO, we have been with our CFO and my staff here. We've actually been engaging with our executive authority as well as with the National Treasury. We're really trying to get that, you know, to be underwritten somewhere. So we're looking at that very carefully because, yes, we do find that it's like a noose around our neck. The question about are our exhibitions safe, secure, and dry? We try our best to keep them safe, secure, and dry. But in terms of if you're raising the issue about security, well, I think that that's an international phenomenon with, you know, we try our best with the resources that we have to keep them as safe as possible, to keep them as secure as possible, and to keep them as dry or wet, because we do need the wet as well, because our snakes stay in wet collections. But yes, we try our best. We have been installing new climate conditions as well into our museum. So we are doing that within the Iziko Museum. And then we also try to increase our, to have more museums climate control, those that don't have climate control. But recently, the Labayon exhibition, we did install new climate a new climate feature in that particular exhibition. So now we can have these international exhibitions from all over, continentally and internationally. The youth wage subsidy, that is something I'm going to bear that in mind, and I'm just going to ask Denise Krauss to help me here with this one, please.
We've not tapped into the youth wage subsidy. That is a project which the Premier and her staff have a specific project in terms of how they deal with it. But we have tapped in all kinds of other internships. The Western Cape, Western province, they've given us internship funding. We've gotten funding from the DAC. We have actually, there has been a question about whether we have appointed staff. We actually did, one of the librarians who did an internship, an African male, he got a position in Iziko once the position became available. So we do tap into all the various funding that we can have, but the youth wage is something that we've not tapped into.
And I think the first question was not fair, because this has not been a policy of any government yet. You know, internships or it's a DA sort of a request. I think, I don't think that's a question, it's a policy of the party, it's not finalized. But I think you've tried your best to speak about internships. I think that was the most relevant question. I apologize for that. Thank you. Are you done? Or how far are you?
I think I've answered most questions because some had overlapped as well. Your question, which was quite an important one about donor funding and how far have you gone to raise funds. Well, the Iziko museums have been trying all means to get funding. We've gone to the job fund. We apply to all kinds of foundations, whether it's within the country, outside of the country. We write quite a lot of proposals all the time to get funding, and we've even tried to get funding for youth development programs. But unfortunately, we haven't been very successful. But we know that, you know, more. And, I mean, we can show that. It's not like we're very proactive when it comes to our funding. But we don't. You know, some of it is UNESCO related. It's not youth. I think there are some youth programs that UNESCO actually invites museums to apply for. So that's how we've been applying for funding.
Thank you so much. Mr. Zuma, is there anything that you need to say for what I think we're done?
Oh, no, I'll just remind the CEO about the pricing structure for locals and international.
Sorry, Chair. We don't have a differential between locals and international.
Okay, thank you, members. I think we are here to off on our number.
Jefferson, I might have not listened attentively, but am I correct to say that I had you in an introduction that is in the museum just spread around this province only? It's not spread to other provinces. Maybe it's on the
of the track record and the history of that museum. And I see your exhibition. question about our dam. And if you look to that museum, instead of that, which is how do you think of what to what's the exhibition that you use? Okay.
I will address the first question and I'll hand over to the CEO to address the second one. One of the challenges that we have in South Africa is to constantly reflect on what do we mean by a national museum? What is the nationalness of the museum? Why is the museum a museum of a nation, even if it might exist in one province? And that has to do with the history of the collection. It has to do with how the collection was acquired. It has to do with the significance of the collection to the nation. And it does not so much refer to the spread and the existence of the museum in different forms in all the provinces. So its nationalness is not a geographic existence. That its nationalness has to do with its significance and with the importance of the collection to the nation and the importance of the work that the museum does in relation to the broad national challenges of social cohesion and a rebirth of the South African nation after decades and centuries of misfortune, if you like. And so if we recall, Iziko Museum's origins lie in the old collections that were inherited from the old system. And you remember that these collections were essentially divided along apartheid lines. They were marked by all the disciplines through which the South African people were turned into colonial subjects, and in which you had a bifurcation between some people who were deemed to be civilized and other people who were deemed to be uncivilized. And so the task of the making of a national museum and to find ways of enabling that museum to be respectful of every South African, so that no South African is an object in that museum. Now, these are big national tasks. And the fact that Iziko is not only a national museum, it is also a flagship museum, which gives it special kinds of responsibilities for creating a policy framework. And so one example of that would be how Iziko has taken the lead in developing a democratic policy around human remains collections, in which it inquires into the ethics of its collection in order to make proposals for how this can be the subject of redress. And that is going to be a major task in the South African museum sector over the next decade as we address that legacy in South Africa.
I think I would like to I think this is it. Are we quite done with this? Okay. Oh, thank you so much. It was your outside question. Thank you so much to members of Iziko for coming also here. Thank you for your time, and we really appreciate your time, and thank you. I think one of the issues that I've just discussed is that let's put our youth in priority and let's go to universities, encourage them even to study archaeology and all the studies that are museum related. Because sometimes it's information that is not known. We find that youth are doing something that they're not interested in. But just because we're told there are certain courses, go out to you've heard from the first NEC presentation. I think that's how the community feels. So I hope they're listening to all some of the questions and our concerns that we raise so much. And we really appreciate it. And thank you so much. And to attend the event. Okay. Members? You can also get a list.
Our guys can also be released.